Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Laying the Foundation. Here's Ramona and Dennis Taylor with their scripture reading.
Today, I'm reading from the scripture from Luke, first chapter, verses 57 through 80. Now, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy for her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of their relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel.
This reading's from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
On this day in which we're talking about laying the foundation, I'm reminded of all those who laid a strong foundation of faith in my own life. I remember Sunday school teachers and parents and Bible drill leaders who spent hours and hours and hours instilling the truths of the Christian faith and making sure that I memorized those verses, even in the King James Version. I went on and competed in the state drills, just FYI. But even as those folks were laying a strong foundation of faith, none of them, and even I myself, couldn't imagine what God was up to as God was laying a foundation of faith in my own life. I think many of you have heard me say that I went to seminary thinking I would be a pastor's wife, and that did not turn out so well for me. And it's better that way, because I think somewhere along the way, God knew what God was doing. And God was able to work with that foundation that others were faithfully laying. Woody Allen is often credited with saying, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." We could probably add to it, if you want to hear God laugh even louder, tell God how much you know. The same phrase is echoed in songs and poems like Van Zandt's Help Somebody. And it's been turned into artful memes that are all over social media. It's on t-shirts, it's on bumper stickers. But one thing that I did not know until this week when I started really digging around this phrase is that it has Jewish roots. It's much older than Woody Allen himself. It actually comes from a Yiddish proverb, Der Mensch tracht und Gott wacht. Man plans, God laughs. When you have time later on, I really recommend that you just type that phrase into your Google search or your Bing search or Wikipedia, whatever it is, and read some of the other Yiddish proverbs that come up. There are some really good nuggets of wisdom that you can find there. You'll find things like, a tree doesn't fall with just one blow. Don't pour oil on fire. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease, and my favorite, be wary in front of a billy goat, in back of a horse, or on the side of a fool. There's a lot of wisdom in that. It does seem, though, that we are, for better or for worse, living in the midst of the proverb, man plans, and God laughs. After the year 2020, many of us placed our hope and perhaps some of our plans in the year 2021. Here we are in the final month of the year 2021, once again trying to summon the hope, or perhaps the faith, to put a little bit of planning into 2022. It has to get better than this, right? We're planning on a different year next year. Just like we were planning on a different year this year, one that we hoped would have fewer masks and more vaccines, one that we hoped would have fewer canceled events and a little more stability, one that we hoped would have fewer hours of quarantine and more social interaction. We were hopeful, but now we're not quite so sure. We had hoped the jobs would return and people could regain their financial stability and confidence. We had hoped that we might learn some things about our pre-COVID lives, some things about our neighbors, some things about income inequality or healthcare disparities or the lack of affordable housing in our city. We had hoped to learn and to do better on the other side. We had hoped to emerge a more compassionate, a more grounded people, perhaps people who were more faithful and more focused on our relationships, more connected as one human family, more concerned about the things that matter the most. And yet all of those plans for a better version of ourselves in 2021 seem as far off today as they did 20 months ago. Man plans, and God laughs. We know this proverb not only to be true in our social lives, but also in our personal lives. How many times have we planned on a nice, relaxing weekend away only to find it interrupted by the stomach bug? How many times have we planned to take a breather or to enjoy vacation, but it's interrupted by a canceled flight or an emergency at work, an email that has to be answered now, or maybe a flat tire 5 miles away from the driveway? Man plans and God laughs. Sometimes these words offer us the necessary levity to survive some of life's more frustrating moments. Just before you're ready to punch a wall, perhaps reminding yourself that we plan, God laughs, can be helpful. But other times, the idea that God might be sitting up somewhere on high, enjoying a good laugh at our expense, can feel cruel. It can feel distant. And, you know, it really can feel like the opposite of love. even though the words from the proverb can rub us the wrong way at times, the deeper wisdom conveyed within them does ring true with some of the stories from the gospel. The verses we read this morning tell a story of a foundation layer, a prophet, a baby who was born to a family just before Jesus' birth, born into Jesus' family, in fact. John the Baptist, as he would come to be known, he prepared the way for Jesus by calling all of humanity to repent, to change, to turn away from sin, and to turn toward God. John's message would be a warning rooted in love, but we would have to come to find out that. But before John the baby was John the Baptist, he was a sacred promise that was growing deep within Elizabeth's womb. And his birth story that we read just a moment ago is one of surprise, one of change, and dare I say, one of interrupted plans. Man plans and God laughs. John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were both devout Jews, and they were both born into priestly families. In fact, John's father, Zechariah, was on duty at the temple when the angel Gabriel came and told him the news that his wife would bear a son. And when the angelic visitation occurred, Zechariah wasn't exactly planning on things to unfold the way that Gabriel said they would. He wasn't planning on this interruption. In fact, his whole congregation was waiting outside for him to come back out of the temple and offer a word, perhaps a sermon or a prayer. But Zechariah would not be speaking to his people anytime soon, because inside the temple, when Gabriel came to Zechariah and told him the news that his wife would bear a son, Zechariah did not believe it. He couldn't believe it. He and Elizabeth had been waiting so long for a child, and they believed that their time had passed long ago because now they were old in age. And here Zechariah was, inside the temple, about to go back out and address his people when an angel interrupts, and all of his plans become irrelevant. Because Zechariah doubts what the angel has told him, because he does not believe the angel's words, he loses his voice and enters into a season of silence until everything that Gabriel said would happen, happens. Man plans and God laughs. Now, this silence could have been bad enough for anyone. I mean, who wants, really, to be silent for 6 months, 8 months? But for a priest, this would mean taking time out from the most public aspects of his job. Let's remember that being a priest in the ancient world is not a chosen vocation. It is not an individual calling. It is a family job. It is an inheritance. It is a purpose. Zechariah's season of silence put his very identity into question. Being a priest was the common thread that connected him to all of his ancestors. His fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers had been priests before him. And really, what good is a priest who cannot preach? What good is a priest who has no words, who cannot prophesy, who cannot offer a prayer for the people, who cannot serve as the mouthpiece of God for a community of faith? Man plans and God laughs. The amazing thing is that during Zechariah's season of silence, God was hard at work. When the time came for Elizabeth to have the child, everybody assumed that the baby's name would be Zechariah, like his father. That was the tradition. That was the custom. But as the angel foretold, this child, this boy, this promise would be different. It's impossible to know what Zechariah was thinking as he silently waited for the birth of his son. There isn't anything about it in Luke's gospel. In fact, as soon as Zechariah is silenced in the text, Luke's focus shifts completely to the women. And he tells the story of Mary coming to visit with Elizabeth, and Mary sings the beautiful song that we know as the Magnificat, and she returns home before Elizabeth gives birth to the baby. 8 days later, the neighbors circle around, prepared to name the boy after his father, and Elizabeth tells them, no, it is not as you expect. His name will not be Zechariah. His name will be John. But the neighbors don't believe her. They don't accept her word, and so they turn to the father looking for instruction, and mute Zechariah writes it down on a tablet. His name is John. And finally, they believe. Suddenly, the floodgates open up as Zechariah's voice returns and his lips are filled with a prophetic song, a song of praise to a God who sees the pain and the suffering of God's own people, a song of gratitude to God who intervenes, entering into our world with acts of love and mercy, a song that proclaims a new way forward, a light for those who sit in the darkness, he says. A new direction, a change of course, a way of peace in a world that so often tends toward discord. Man plans and God laughs. Sometimes it seems that the whole gospel, especially these birth stories in the gospels, it seems that the whole gospel is telling a story of interrupted plans, of unassuming characters and unexpected outcomes. And Elizabeth and Zechariah's story certainly fits that bill. You see, they'd planned on having children, but they grew old and the child never came. Maybe a miracle would come and they'd give him a family name, but the angel had a different idea. Or maybe the way that it happened wasn't at all what anybody was expecting, but it seems that God was at work throughout it all, laying the foundation for a prophet named John, one who would live on the margins of society and offer a baptism of repentance, one whose voice would provoke the status quo and call us to question everything, one who would prepare the way of peace, saying, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Maybe while humanity was planning, God wasn't laughing at all, but God was working in and through all of our disrupted plans and shattered dreams. Maybe through it all, God was laying a foundation for a different kind of dream, a different kind of king, a different kind of world, something different than anything we ever could have imagined. You see, we plan, but when we make our plans, they are based on our limited experiences, our small amount of knowledge, and our tiny understanding of what might be possible. Sometimes when God is at work in our lives and in our world, our plans, as thoughtful as they might be, can even get in the way of God's dream for a different kind of reality. And when that happens, sometimes it's best for us to just get out of the way, to quiet our own doubts and thoughts and ideas and sometimes even our words, just like Zechariah had to do, because God is laying a foundation. We may feel like we have been living in that proverb, man plans and God laughs, for these last couple of years, as everything that we have planned and dreamt seems to have flown out the window. But I'm not ready to give up yet. I'm not ready to give up because I believe, like Paul writes to the church in Philippi, that the God who began a good work in us will see it through to completion. Maybe we just have to wait it out a little longer. Maybe God is laying a foundation for something new, for something better than anything we could have ever imagined before. Maybe God is taking the foundations that we have spent our lives making and perfecting them, tweaking them here and there, so that God can build God's own foundation. After all, it is the season of incarnation. It is a season of miraculous interruption and unprecedented possibility. We can plan, yes. But when God interrupts, even when it feels like an interruption we didn't ask for, didn't plan on, or don't even want, sometimes it can serve us well to quiet down, to wait, to watch, and to see what kind of foundation God is laying. We plan, yes. But we all know that things don't always work out according to plan. And sometimes that is the best gift we can ever receive. Amen.